News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
It's 538 at Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Glad you're with us on this Monday night. News broke a few hours ago that a legend in entertainment in the larger sense, but in the more specific sense, a legend in the comic book world passed away. Stan Lee, who created a lot of the Marvel, or helped create a lot of the Marvel Comics characters you've come to know, passed away at the age of 95. This after not too long ago, rumors of his death were greatly exaggerated. But then again, that's what we do with celebrities these days. We write them off before they're ready to be written off. Don't get me started. But I wanted to talk about comic books and Stan Lee's influence with the one guy I know that knows a heck of a lot about him. Ben Stone, you'll know, is middays on 92.7 FM The Laser and used to own a bookshop and a comic book shop here in town, is here in the studio. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, man. I have a lot of comic books.
How many do you have?
I don't even, you know what? I don't even have a count anymore. I used to have an exact count of what I had, but like, no, it's still in the sorting process now.
and are they both DC and Marvel?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I come from the age where you were one or the other. You were either a Marvel kid or a DC kid, okay, and you were not allowed to cross the streams. That was frowned upon, but I'm, you know, I go both ways now.
So what changed about that in most people's comic books collection? It seems to me that it's maybe more acceptable now than it used to be.
Well, I think that comics just changed in general. Uh-huh. I think back in the 90s when things like Image Comics popped up and there was an option besides the two big ones, and it wasn't just a two-way war anymore. And plus, you know, I don't care how much you love Spider-Man, you want a little Batman in your life. That's just all there is to it, you know.
And someday you want Spider-Man to battle Batman,
right,
and be the end of it or something.
Not sure about that. But yeah, you know, this happened. I mean, those things occur occasionally, yeah.
In some of the stories that I've been reading today, and some on the air about Stan Lee, he's been described as, well, according to the AP here, the architect of the contemporary comic book. Is that a fair statement?
Well, Stan was an innovator in the fact that, like, when he hit Marvel Comics with Amazing Fantasy and Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, he kind of redefined superhero comics. That was what they call the Silver Age of comic books, started there, basically at the inception of Marvel Comics. And that was Stan and, you know, Ditko and everybody else under the sun and Jack Kirby, who was helping him out. But it was always Stan behind it. And whenever you can look at a creator and say they defined an era of comics, that's pretty impressive. Now, DC owns the Golden Age of comics, which was before that. That's all them for the most part. But the Silver Age was Marvel. And one of the big things that Stan did differently as a writer and a creator was he tried to make the characters as relatable to the reader as he could be. Peter Parker was just a bumbling nerd. He was just a guy who had worse problems than you did and happened to also be able to stick to walls.
Yeah, the story, I read one of the stories said that he was credited with adding humanistic characteristics to his superheroes.
Almost to a flawed extent sometimes. Like, it would almost become, like, so caricatured that you're just like, okay, calm down.
Like, they almost had to have a vulnerability or
right,
something.
Yep, every single one. And, like, and really, it's like, it's, there's a certain, like, formula to it. Like, with the Spider-Man stuff, there's a spider and a man, a rhino and a man, an octopus and a man, and all that stuff like that. He would find something that was working for him, and he would stick to it and just crank it out. But that was his job. He was, like, he was a clubhouse writer. He was the guy who was in the bullpen, and he was responsible for this many issues of this many titles every month.
It almost sounds to me like you're telling me maybe that was almost his fault, was that he had this sort of a little bit of a formulaic type thing to character development.
There's a little bit of all the big Stan Lee comics are, like, you know, the major characters are very similar in ways, like, you know, the Hulk was this guy who, like, couldn't control his emotions, so he gets big and angry and crazy. And, like, Tony Stark was this guy who, like, had bad addiction problems and daddy issues and couldn't control his emotions, so he built a metal wall around himself, and, you know, so on and so forth. He liked to do that. But that was a more humanistic portrayal of superheroes than anyone had seen before at the time. The Fantastic Four, when he and Kirby designed the Fantastic Four, they were literally just a family with superpowers. Mm-hmm. And like, it was a dynamic that no one had ever seen before. It was just at least not that well done.
So if he kind of, for lack of a better term, revolutionized the way comic books were made versus DC, which sort of had this sort of
different... They were the tried and true, yeah.
How did they both survive for as long as they did?
I think that it's just for the longest time, they're just two different flavors. They're very much different universes. DC writes a universe that's inhabited by gods. Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, these characters are greater than we could ever aspire to be. There's the outstanding part of that is Batman, who's human and is just, you know, on our level, supposedly. But Marvel's characters have always been flawed and human first and powers later. That's always been the way it works. It's one of those things where the X-Men could be an allegory for any kind of stereotyping under the sun, whether it was racial prejudice or sexual prejudice or whatever it was. If you're an outsider, if you didn't fit in and the world hated you, you were an X-Men, you know?
I've even seen people, some of my friends on social media, some other comic book people who said today something to the effect of, you know, I'm a DC guy, but you have to respect Stan Lee for what he did for the business.
Certainly. I think that, like, Stan kind of transcended comics in a way where Stan had a lot of, like, P.T. Barnum in him. He's had a lot of showmanship. Like, there was a lot of, like, you know, I grew up reading when he was the editor-in-chief, and it was Stan's soapbox, and it was True Believers and Excelsior and all this, and there's the cartoon picture of Stan there that looks just like Stan because Stan looks like a cartoon. And that's just the way he was. And, like, he rode that, like, made that part of the experience. I think that, like, especially later on, once he had stepped away from Marvel in a writing and editorial capacity, he was like their mascot. That's why he's in so many cameos in the films, and you're always looking for where's Stan going to be in this movie. And
talk to me about that. How did he do that?
I think there's only been one that he hasn't been in, actually, and that's including the Fox movies and the Marvel Universe movies. Like, he just show up. There's the best cameo is when he's sitting there talking to the Watchers about doing the cameos as Stan Lee in a spacesuit. That's the best thing. It's like they've been trolling you the whole time. This is really all Stan Lee in the multiverse, and we're all just part of his game. Yeah.
So how was he able to even after he kind of gave up the writing and the publishing and all that he did, how was he able to continue to stay relevant? Was it those cameos, or was there something else about him that made him the most sought after guy at Comic-Cons and things like that?
I think
that?
It was just part of it was just Stan being Stan. Stan made a little bit smarter business decisions than some of the other creators did. And sometimes he made some business decisions that were questionable, especially when it came to people who worked with him and things and spreading credit around, you know. Yeah. We very much were living in Stan's world, but it was Stan's world though. And he is like, the centerpiece of it. Like, you think of Marvel and you think of Stan Lee, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
He created the core of the universe. I mean, there's some parts of it that he didn't, but for the most part, all the major characters all come from him. And, you know, and he didn't leave on bad terms. He never left in a way where it was like, that's it. He slams the door and he's gone. I think, you know, he was always getting paid to do cameos. He was always getting, you know, paid to come and do appearances and sign books and stuff like that. And Stan loved the Greenbacks, loved them a lot. He was a big fan.
Yeah. I'm getting that impression somehow. Did Stan Lee influence, in your view, other parts of entertainment? Did the way he developed Marvel Comics influence anything else that we see in the entertainment genre today?
I think that you see it mostly in movies. I think that, like, especially the superhero movies being as popular as they are, and the way that Marvel Cinemas has taken, like, the idea of incorporating all the movies together and stuff, that comes very much from the type of writing that Stan was doing with Kirby and stuff early on. This kind of like, you're writing a bigger world, not just one story at the time. But I think not just in superhero movies, but in movies in general. I remember seeing Stan Lee and Kevin Smith's Mallrats back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And, like, just thinking that was the funniest thing ever. Like, you know, it was just great. And he was just completely just Stan Lee, being Stan Lee. I don't know if Stan Lee could ever be anything but Stan Lee, other than a cameo, you know?
Why do you think his partner never capitalized on the success, at least to the degree that Stan Lee did?
You mean Kirby?
Yeah. Did he?
Guys like Kirby and Ditko and stuff like that, they capitalized in different ways. Unfortunately, back when in the 60s, when these guys were really creating magical stuff, they were just hired hands. They were like dudes who work at a radio station and are just told to come in and do the thing. And then when the thing is done, you go.
I've worked at places like that.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what it was like. Nowadays, with comic books and most types of things like that, creators have a portion of the rights to their things. They have, you know, money that's entitled to them for usage and everything else. And that wasn't the case back then. And especially with artists who kind of got the short part of the stick as opposed to writers. And that created bad blood between Stan and other co-creators early on. And I think most of that usually got cleared up before somebody passed away. But, you know, you make waves sometimes.
Oh, I'm surprised to hear that there's office politics in something like comic
books. Right? Who would think? Yeah, two giant publishing corporations fighting against each other? What could go wrong?
You know, one thing I was just thinking about here before I wrap up, and I don't have much more time to expand on this, but you mentioned the part of the comic book where he kind of had his commentary, his soapbox and things like that. Are you suggesting to me that maybe without young kids realizing it, he was an advocate for freedom of speech or a free press?
He was an advocate for all kinds of social justice. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, I didn't realize what I was reading until much later on when I would see him going off on rants about social injustice and racial inequities and freedom of the press and everything else, and talking about how we true believers stand together and support each other and everything under the sun. Like, that was his thing. It was like marching orders in every single comic about, like, hey, you do what's right. You stand up for you and your friends, and don't take any crap from anybody. Excelsior.
So in other
that's
words,
what he was like all the time.
So in other words, he was saying, oh, how shall I put it? That's not very popular around here, but how shall I say, like, resist without actually saying resist?
Oh, my gosh. Stan Lee was like the poster child for resist back in the day. If he could have been putting a fist on every comic, he would have.
I mean,
this is the man who created the Black Panther. You know, he's just kind of like, he did a lot of... When you look back at the 70s and the black supposition that happened is really corny and bad, but at the same time, he was the guy who was trying to get other cultures out there and be seen. Ben Grimm is the thing, part of the Fantastic Four being Jewish was a huge thing at the time.
Hmm.
Like, when they made a big deal of the fact, like, hey, Ben Grimm's a Jew. They're, what? You can't have that. Yeah, you can. He's a giant orange rock monster, and he'll beat you to death if you say anything about it.
You can do whatever you want.
That's right.
Especially if you are a rock monster.
Exactly.
There you go. All right, Ben Stone, Middays on 92.7 FM, The Laser, and how shall I say, local comic book aficionado.
Thank you, man.
You know, I use the big words when I can. Especially around people who understand them. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.